is Guardian Radio, your station for up-to-the-minute news and intelligent, interactive, and engaging conversations. 96.9 FM. The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the views of the management and staff of Guardian Radio.
La 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 la. La 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 la. La 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 la. I represent Bahamian people. I from
Nassau, Bahamas, big up Dayton, bro. Boy, I from Dayton, bro.
Right between West and Augusta, where them two roads meet, they call it Wilkinson Street. Manners and respect was like a sign blind check. It seems the ones that come in after quick to disrespect. You see, this life in the ghetto never easy. So many hungry days break till it grieve me. Way I doing the best I can, trying to turn my dollar to $100,000. I represent the ghetto people. I from Nassau, Bahamas.
Good night, Bahamas. And welcome to another edition of Inside the Inner City that premieres every Friday at 6:30 to 8 p.m., except holidays. Telephone numbers tonight are 323-622-325-4316 and 325-4259. I'm your host, Valentino O'Brien, a.k.a. Scoochie or Scrooge, host of the talk show Inside the Inner City. And it's, again, it's always a pleasure on the station, Guardian Radio, who are pleased to talk about the stories, the history, solutions to the inner city community. And we cover basically all the topics. We cover religion, we cover community development, we cover the police, we cover government, we cover the prison, we cover the tourism sector, we cover social service, you know, we cover healthcare. All these things combined together that we talk about in the show over the years, it's a combination of topics that if we put them together, we have the solution for the country based on some of the callers who call in, and they give the expertise, and, you know, they come up with great solutions to the country's problem, as well as the other talk show hosts. Shows that comes on Guardian Radio and other stations around the country. Collectively, if you put all the information together when it comes to crime, all the stories, we know exactly what needs to be done. There's no reason for us to be going back and forward. We just need to move ahead and try to do a 10-point plan and make it effective. You know, when it comes to crime, same thing about immigration. Same thing when it comes to poverty. And if we stick to a 10-point plan in each one of these categories, we would be able to solve a lot of the problems in the country, because these 10 points that we put in there covers basically everything. You know, for instance, if we're talking about crime, you know, it has to do with poverty, it has to do with the community, it has to do with the prison, it has to do with, it has to do with not having the proper education, the proper support mechanism. Most people come with a single parent home, grow up with their parents, you know, and left to wander about in the community and become mature faster than them learning the basics about life. And what happens, they skip their adolescence. And they become mature, and then they think they're making the right decision, you know, and what's going on in our country. And we just need to put a 10-point plan for crime, for immigration, for health care, you know, and for community planning, you know, and just see where we could go from there. But today's show, we're going to talk a little bit about the immigration crisis we are facing in the country, and then we're going to cover a little bit about crime. I want to talk a little bit about the increase in suicide as well, And all of these things that we're seeing happen in the country is basically tied to crime, but we sometimes separate it, but when it boils down, it comes to mental health, and you'd see most cases that are before the court, many people have a mental health issue. And I think that, you know, these are all arrows pointing in one direction. So we're going to have to put it together, like I said, and stick with a plan, enforce it, and continue to work on the program consecutively. It doesn't matter which government comes in power. We need to sign a bill and make this mandatory that these programs continue, because if we don't, we will be having the same problems over and over, and we will be getting nowhere. As you can see, it's getting worse. Suicide increased by 60%. There was a study done by Ms. Forbes from the Ministry of Health, who made a presentation to the Office of the Prime Minister, and it states that, you know, children from the age of, I think, 13 to 17, surveyed on, I think it was about 19 schools and about, I think, a few hundred students, if I'm correct, all had thoughts of suicide. So that's the kids from 13 to 17. Not only that, she gave out a report saying that most of the kids are on cigarette, are on drugs. You know, it's crazy. And now we have a suicide increase by over 60%. So it means it's getting worse for us in the country when it comes to mental health, when it comes down to poverty. But again, like I said, we're going to talk about that as we go in the show, because I like to have a Kong Solid show. So we're going to start the show off talking about a comment made by the Prime Minister concerning the problem we face with illegal immigrants entering the Bahamas for many, many years. Both administration can be held responsible for it. Because of the neglect, many individuals of nationality who came here illegally slipped through the cracks. They were not able to be caught by the police. They were not able to be caught by the immigration officers. And they were able to get help from the Princess Margaret Hospital, which we as a nation have signed on to an agreement many, many years ago. And one thing we will not deny is medical treatment to individuals who could or could not be illegal immigrants in the country. We signed on to those agreements. You know, I was reading that today. So because of the missteps of the police, misstep of the immigration department not catching these people in a timely fashion, they stagnated in the country for over 19 years, 20 years. You know, it's hard for the government or the courts to actually send these people back. So it's been a burden on the Bahamian people for many, many years in the country, because many people talk about how it's affecting the healthcare industry. There are many people who can't get beds because of the overwhelming illegal immigrants who, by international law and agreements we sign on, we have to treat these individuals. And, you know, they're here, you know, but we as a Bahamian people feel that it's a taxpayer's burden on us, because we feel that, you know, we're paying all these bills and these individuals are coming to the country and getting the benefits, and we, the Bahamian people who are here, you know, we are suffering because we are getting taxed to pieces, as, you know, whether it's light bill, water bill, gas prices skyrocketing up and down, the government said they're working on it, our electricity bill, you know, national insurance of people of small businesses or have working, you know, they have to pay national insurance. So most Bahamians, you know, feel that, you know, this is, it's just too much burden, and especially when we avoided government after government, hoping that, you know, they could help us in many ways to help empower us so that we become more productive citizens, you know, we end up getting in and part of the stick, you know, so we've lost all hope. If you look at the previous last election, there were not a lot of turnout. It was a landslide won by the Progressive Liberal Party, but I guess people were very frustrated with the performance of the former Prime Minister, Hubert Alexander Minnis, on the way how he dealt with the lockdown, he dealt with the hurricane, and, you know, being locked down in your own country, in a cage, you know, we come from that, most of us come from the slavery day, so, you know, that felt like, you know, we were going back in slavery, and, you know, Minnis might or might not been making the right decision, some decision he might have made, but to us as Bahamians, you know, we felt like we were treated unfairly. And because of that, you know, we were very frustrated. We just wanted to get rid of him and his government. He had one or two good ministers in government, but at the end of the day, people are going to vote against the prime minister, you know. If the MPs are behaving in an unfit manner, and the people know that, the only way that they're going to be able to vote that particular party out is to vote against the prime minister. Every vote is against the prime minister who vote for a different party. So most people just wait for that opportunity. You know, I don't know if it's like that right now with this particular time, but like I said, for us here in the country, you know, who are Bahamians, who live in here, we saying we paying all the taxes, you know, we can't get treatment, good treatment by the hospital. It seems that everything is going sour for us, which it looked like it's going sour. Mind you, government are doing some good programs, they're doing some good initiative, great investment on Exuma, Cat Island, Freeport, you know, but like at the end of the day, there are thousands of people, you know, who just can't pay their bills. You know, they can't see an end to it, you know. So that's why suicide increasing, you know. So that's a sign to show you that things are good on some end for some people, for 1 or 2% of people who are really, really benefiting. But for the majority of raw born Bahamians in the country, you know, it's a handful that, you know, we can't swallow because, like I said, you know, we vote old governments because of their performance, and we ourselves feel that we're being left out in our own country. You know, and that's the bottom line. We just feel that we're being left out in our own country, and we know we complain, you know, we want to point fingers, you know, so we have this problem where, like I said, if the government, if the police, if the immigration officers don't apprehend these individuals out to sea in a timely fashion, if they hit land, the maritime, I didn't even know this, maritime law runs the world, maritime law, I didn't even know that, the law of the sea, you know, runs the law. But anyway, like I said, you know, and many of us, you know, don't have a passion to hate, you know, but some of us feel like, again, the majority of us, some of us have mixed emotion about the situation, and, you know, we see the problem and we want the problem corrected, but then when we look at it, you know, we see a lot of corruption, you know, going on, you know, people who can't even speak full English, you know, has a Bahamian passport. How is that? You know, they don't know the national anthem. They don't know the national bird, which is the blue marlin. I mean, national fish. I most get it. It's the blue marlin, the national bird. It's the pink flamingo, you know, the national tree and blah. They can't tell you who's the first governor general, blah, 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 you know. You know, I have no problem with people waking themselves up if they come here legally or illegally, they said we don't catch. As long as they abide by the laws and regulation and they're able to get their documents step by step, and we, the government, decide to say not give you citizenship, but we give you temporary citizenship because we fail to apprehend you in a timely fashion. So we can't send you back, but what we can do, we can help you have status in the country as long as you abide by the rules and regulations of the Bahamas and also that, you know, you will be with good behavior, then we could go forward to see in the next 15, 20 years. If you contribute to national insurance and blah, 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 you're going to get yourself involved in all illegal smuggling of other illegal immigrants in the country. What they say, the voodoo thing, you know, well, that's how people are talking. You're not allowed to do that in the country and blah, 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 you know. Celebrate Bahamas independence and et cetera. I think that's the first step, you know. But I, like I said, you know, we are frustrated as Bahamian. You know, me, I don't hate, you know. I understand the need and the desire because I know that we have kids coming to school every year, Haitian Bahamian, Jamaicans, and a small amount, and Bahamian naturally born, you know. And if the jobs are being sucked up by illegal immigrants who are coming in the country, what job is going to be available for those 5,000? And what about the 5,000 before that? And what about the stagnated population of the Bahamas that we have a high unemployment going on in the country? The government has stated about a year ago that this is the lowest unemployment has been in the country. I couldn't agree because they go by statistics. But when I walk around the streets, I know how many people ask me for work and how many people ask me for funds and how many people are looking for help, those numbers are different, you know. So we have a huge unemployment problem in the country. And if people were able, well, people from other nations who come here illegally, we could deal with that here now, you know. We ain't stopping no one from getting their passport, just to be able to do it the right way, you know, and get the right, you know, and we willing to, the government's supposed to be able to work with these individuals, but at the same time, you know, we have to secure ourselves because we have no place to go. You know, the Bahamas is one of the greatest places in the world. I wouldn't want to be no place else in the world. We have so much land, so much sea, so much islands that you could go and travel, you know, so much beauty, you know. You can, there's no place like the Bahamas, you know. There's no place like the Bahamas, you know. We got some of the nicest set of people in the world, and we can't spoil it, you know. So I want to play this clip, but I'm going to listen to this caller, and then I'm going to play the clip after the caller hangs up. Go ahead, caller.
Yes, yes, Scrooge. How you doing?
I'm fine.
You know, Scrooge, you know, the Bahamas is more than, it's been the Bahamas before independence, right?
Yes.
You know, I've been born in the Bahamas, say 60 plus years ago, right? And my parents, and most of my parents were immigrants from the States and Texas.
Yes, that was about the Bahamas as well.
Right. So my views, right? I don't believe, right, that me, my parents are Texan Caicos and they're not Bahamians. I was born, I'm a Texan Caicos Bahamian. You see, so I don't believe that I should have the same rights. I should have human rights. But I don't should not have the same rights as a Bahamian who's been here, say, before slavery. I mean, or since slavery, as the black ones whose parents were slaves. You understand me?
Yes, sir.
So, and we have many people like me. You know, some of them that, you know, their parents were not even British slaves.
Mm.
You understand?
Someone they were caught in a lot of people who say were slaves or not slaves, they were actually here. Some come on ships, but a lot were here who did not get catch.
I agree.
Yes.
But I'm talking about the immigrants like me.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. I understand. Go ahead.
There are some who are immigrants, right, who was not even a British mm. Yes. You understand me?
Yes,
so therefore, when it comes to things like reparation, right?
Mm-hmm.
Or even land grants.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think those other immigrants should have those opportunities.
Mm-hmm.
As a Bahamian who's been here 100 years or say mm-hmm. 300 years
or more, yeah.
Or more.
Yeah.
Right? So and then when you say give us or give other citizenship, right? I don't think this citizenship should not be equal.
Mm.
You understand me? They shouldn't be able to be parliamentary. To pay. They shouldn't get the grants that they get Mm. Because just because they are Bahamians, because they are citizens.
Mm.
You understand me? So therefore, we look in our parliament. These same people who got us, we have people in our parliament who are immigrants like me. Even though I've been here, I born here,
mm-hmm.
but I'm still an immigrant.
Yeah,
I'm a child of immigrants who's been here 60 plus years. You have many like me in our parliament. Someone who's been here less, who's been here less, at least, you know what I mean? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And that ain't right, because it's them who's going to make laws when it comes to making the laws to give you a raise, to give the poor, uneducated youth a livable wage, pay that they could live on.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to say, well, all the business can, the employees can't afford
all
it.
All right.
So you understand me?
I feel you.
The employees who are their donors, who they pleasing, you know, or even the foreign businessman, or any businessman, they are their donors.
All right.
You see what I'm saying? They don't care whether they black or white.
All right.
You
see? Get you.
So you understand what I'm saying? So, and all that has to do with this crime, you know, bro.
Yeah.
Watch me. These kids, too, come on, man. You know the cost of living going up. It ain't coming down. It ain't never coming down.
Yeah, we'll get to that now. That's why I want you to worry, get you, because I'm going to play the clip.
But what about the wages? Why can't the wages need to go up, too, until that happens? I don't care how much program the government do. They get all of this teaching youths, construction, and that. But look, you know, in construction, you got a mason. A mason got to have a helper. The helper can't lay no blocks. The carbon helper car, you understand?
It's so much to do. It's much investment needs to be done.
These people, whether they are masons or skilled,
it's much. It's much.
To have a livable wage.
Yes,
don't
I agree.
They don't need no minimum wage that they can't live on.
Mm. I agree with you.
You see, and these are the kids who they ain't got no hope. They don't even got no education. So what should they do? So what you going to do? You can put some kids who could learn a trade, who got it, you know, teach them a trade.
Right.
And whatnot. You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah, I get you.
And what about the ones who ain't gonna be able to, teach a trade?
Yeah, they be.
Or, you know, like, even if you learn a trade, you still need a house.
But anyway, I have to get on with the show. You make some good points. You made some very good points, you know. But like I said, you know, you talk about the trades and stuff like that. I want to play this clip from the Honorable Prime Minister, a leader of the Progressive Liberal Party, and much needs to be done. Big investment needs to be spent in the country, you know, and call us right, you know. Talk about minimum wage. It has to go up, you know. Right now, you know, BMs don't work for, like I said, $250, $260 a week. When that bill is like $7 to $1,000, it's impossible. So things is not going to get better, you know, and I know these things. So go ahead, Chris, from the police.
More construction happening in the Bahamas than ever before. Investment is pouring in. Roads are being paved. Airports are being built. Hotels and developments are rising from the ground up. And with that comes real pressure of finding enough workers. At the moment, there are simply not enough skilled Bahamian workers right now to fill their construction jobs. And even the Bahamas Construction Association said the same thing. So yes, there has been an increase in legal immigration, illegal migration to meet that demand. But I want to put every construction company and developer on notice tonight. If you're bringing people into work, they better have a valid work permit. And they must have decent housing. This ain't no free for all. We are not granting work permits for jobs Bahamians are qualified and ready to do. Full stop. Let me give you a real example. There was back and forth between my office and hotel executives who told us they felt Bahamians couldn't manage audio and sound alone, and that they had seen and they had been using a foreign company. I told my advisor to give them notice in person, but I instructed that the work permits be canceled and their workers leave the country immediately. PLPs, you mean to tell me, after all these years, Bahamians can't run a sound board and manage stage lighting? And so tonight, let the record show, a Bahamian company, is now running that sound, visual, and audio system at that same hotel.
But their remarks are the Prime Minister giving a speech at Windsor Park. They had a rally out there on Windsor Park. People from around different communities came out to support their respective MPs. And, you know, most Bahamians, you know, right now are looking for relief. The Prime Minister made some statements concerning, yes, there's an increase. He also made a statement saying that, you know, the jobs are there, but Bahamians, you know, cannot, you know, are not skilled enough. And the Contractors Association made this claim. They're the people who get these contracts. They look for the skilled workers and et cetera. So he said, there are a lot of projects happening in the country. So that's why there's a need for labor outside the Bahamas. And he made a statement saying to make sure that persons coming in to do these work from abroad, make sure they have their work permits and proper housing. It goes to show you that there's a lot of work needs to be done in the country, you know. Not enough skilled workers. So the guy who called in a few minutes ago, he mentioned the fact about even if the guys were to get trade, you know, with the minimum wage, like I said, he stated as well, I think it's $250, $260. And even if these guys were tradesmen, with the minimum wage, they're going to need help us. So that means now, even though he can be a trained technician, he could be a carpenter, and he need help like the caller state. So now, this contractor could decide to say, no, he want to give this Bahamian guy $260 a week. And then he carries home like $3,000, you know? So the worker, you know, he comes to work, the helper comes to work, you know, early 7, 8, hope that the person who is employing him to be the helper helps him with his lunch and breakfast and et cetera. You know, and if he can be more lenient and more kinder, you know, you could say, man, you know, I can give you $250, man. You're my boy, you work good. Once you work good, you know, I can give you an additional $200+ to put in your pocket because I see you struggling with your little daughter or your little son. You know, so that's what I can do for you, you know. So it comes down not even to the $260. You know, it comes down to people having a heart, you know, employers and co-workers having a heart, you know, because we could say all this, you know, we could talk about the government, minimum wage and all this. What about you as an individual? What about your heart? You know, you can be saying all these things to the government. I'm not talking to the caller. I'm talking about what you as an individual. We point the finger at the government saying, you know, we need to increase the minimum wage. Well, what about you? How do you treat your neighbor? How do you treat your worker? You know, sometimes it ain't about the government, you know. Sometimes it's about us. You know? How we treat others, you know? Because a lot of us, you know, sometimes we treat people like dirt. You know, we could talk with Asians, we could talk with whoever, you know, but some of us, we treat one another like dirt. You know, and we do anything to pull one another down, you know? So I think we need to look at ourselves as well, you know, because like I say, I do the best I can in my community, and I do things for my heart. I don't do things to talk about it. You know, I struggle in too, but I take the little that I have, and I try as best as help as much people as I can, even though I struggle in. And it might slow me down. Guess what? You don't know who you're helping, you know. You could have that girl, you don't know, she might not have food in the house. For that one night, you know, she could take your son or daughter. Or someone you see, you come ask you for $10, you know, and you give it to them. You know, they could go and relax themselves for that one night. Buy one mini chicken, buy one soda or juice, you know. So it comes down to us, you know. But the minimum wage, you know, it's a serious thing that needs to be addressed. Based on that being the top 10 in the most expensive place to live in the world, The Bahamas is also one of the richest. Again, I could go by what they call us. We are part of the Caribbean Atlantic, more than Atlantic. And, you know, it's hard here, you know. It's hard here for us as Bahamians, you know. I can imagine even harder for the people who come from abroad with going on in their country that was forced upon them, you know, and they have to get out. And they're desperate and they're finding ways to get in our waters and come to the Bahamas, and, you know, and they have friends and we are some kind people, but we also are not people who are just going to sit down, you know, and don't complain or take action, you know. The police are walking the streets daily, but the Defense Force must give them credit. They're walking about every day. They're stopping people. They, you know, so must give credit to the Royal Bahamas Police Force and the Royal Bahamas Defense Force. They're on the streets. They're walking. They're asking people for their identification. They're apprehending illegal immigrants and stuff like that who are in the Bahamas, who, when they do their check, if they don't have proper documents. So they are on the streets, you know. There are requirements to the new Commodore. Before he took office, the former Commodore, he made a statement that they're looking to expand the capability of the Royal Bahamas Defense Force. I think that they're establishing a base in Nicaragua and the next base somewhere. I can't remember exactly to make sure that they deploy the troops and have them on what you call deployment, so that they could be able to patrol the waters more better. I think that, you know, we need to also create more small bases on some of the family islands in the scratch, because we have trained Defense Force officers. So let's deploy them, you know, train them how to treat people when they're in custody, train them discipline, train them anger management, train them the right protocol on how to treat people humanity, you know, you're not talking about. Because, you know, it's humanitarian aid, and we have to show people humility, that when we get them, you know, we treat them right, we make sure that they have the proper medical attention, and then, you know, we also need to build, with these bases, holding houses where, you know, they have proper water and sanitation, but it's a camp for those who are captured, so that it could be easy process. We would have the judges there present, or could be flown in from one of the family islands to proceed to Martis instead of bringing them to Nassau. You know, we have the Defense Force boat, we have the Defense Force plane. We probably could create an airport where these bases are going to be saturated throughout the Bahamas, so that when we do capture them, they are put before the court, they're treated with their health care again, make sure they're properly fed, properly bed. And then once the judge interviews them and the cases before them, they could repatriate them back to wherever it is they came from. And I think that's a step in the right direction. It's just that we have to be able to slow down those coming in the country, because it's affecting us, you know. You know, it's affecting us, you know. It's going to stop those 5,000 kids coming out of school every year from getting employment in the country, you know. It's hard, you know, because we don't like people, you know, we understand the situation, you know, but it's just that we going through our own little tough time, okay? I want to talk real quick about, I'm going to take this last call. Go ahead, caller, you're on Inside Inner City.
Hey, Scrooge, everything good, brother?
Yeah, man, everything blessed, brother.
Listen, man, all arms, law enforcement need a complete overhaul from the top straight to the bottom.
I do agree.
Okay, so you got some good apples in there, but I think it's a lot more bad apples than good apples.
I agree.
And I can talk much more about that. But in regards to the illegal immigration situation, I feel that the government now has instituted some type of organization within immigration, people from the registrar, and some officers, police officers, and things like that, right?
Yes, sir.
To go around to each neighborhood. You understand what I'm saying?
Yes, sir.
Each neighborhood. Go in each house. How many people live here? You understand what I'm saying? They have to do a census, man. That's the only way you could grasp and gather how much people really in this country.
Yes, sir.
You understand? Because like the people always saying, all these flights going into Haiti and coming back full, going back empty.
Yeah.
You understand? You have a lot of Chinese over here.
Yes, as well.
Which look like that. They don't really have, nothing has happened to them.
Mm.
They do whatever they want to because of whatever agreement Chinese government have with the Bahamas government.
Yes, that's how it goes.
You understand?
Yes.
You have a lot of Middle Eastern people around here who downtown owning all these jewelry shop and thing and all these things like that.
Indians.
You understand? And Indians and thing and type vibe like that.
Yeah.
You understand? We have to have some type of process whereas we know exactly who in this country.
Mm.
You understand? And how long they're actually supposed to be here.
Mm-hmm.
You understand what I'm saying? Because
yes, sir.
This is the world now, man. This is the real world now. We have all type children going away to school and college and thing and all type things, learning all type different ideas and strategies and things. And they can't come home because a lot of foreigners having these same jobs that they would require and they would need. Mm-hmm. And then you have like people who are specialists coming down here, but you have nothing in place to say they pass along their skills and they just are bohemian.
Yes, yes.
You understand? And then that bohemian, after a couple of years or so, after that bohemian get all the knowledge and thing, and then he slide into that position.
Mm-hmm.
You understand what I'm saying?
Yes.
Things of that nature and thing, man.
Yeah.
That's what the bombs need to gear towards, and these governments need to realize. It ain't about y'all yellow and y'all red and whatever y'all dealing with.
It's protecting the future.
It's about the Bahamian people, the red and our blood. But
yeah.
You understand what I'm saying? Aquamarine, gold, and flicking, black. But
yes, brother.
You understand? That's what it's all about. It ain't about y'all. It's about us. And y'all has let us down. Each administration has let us down continuously in the immigration process.
Mm.
And as you can see, I didn't just hang on the Haitian
No, you went on. You went on. You talked with the Chinese.
You understand what I'm saying? Because we have a lot of good Haitian people in this country.
Yes, yes.
Who just come here to have a better way of life.
Yes, yes.
But because of y'all laws and whatever, y'all allowing things to get through, y'all let the wrong type of people in the country, and now they try to take over the country. Because me and you on the road, brother, you know the war going on with Haitian and Bahamian niggas. You see what I'm saying? Wiping and thing for turf and thing and all this type of stuff going on. You understand? And the Haitians together. The Bahamians ain't together. What do you think happened, Rudy? You understand? I leave it like that, brother.
Yes,
good
brother.
Show, bro.
Bless up. You know, you gave some good comments, you know. Respect him out for talking. You know, he has the right to talk. You know, he made some good points, you know. And again, you know, someone just sent me a video saying the next boatload just landed, it's now on its full. See, this is what we have a problem with. See, it ain't about the Bahamian Haitian descent here in the country. It's this boatload we're talking about. Right now is a P-129 Defense Force boat. This boat here has just stopped a sloop coming in. And on the sloop, you can see there's about a couple hundred people on the sloop. You know, and this is the problem what it's going to create for us, you know, because when they're going to hit inland and they're going to hide and, you know, I mean, then when they have children, they're like, I'm not trying to belittle nobody. I'm just saying that it's a screen for us because let me show you what happens. There's consequences for our actions, you know, like when people go through the cracks, okay? When they go through the cracks, that means, you know, they come here illegally on the boat, right? And they land. And they say we have a law. If they get pregnant or they're sick and they go to the hospital, by international standard and the law we sign on, we have to treat them. And once we treat them, you know, they're entitled to education. They're entitled to education. Then there's nothing much we can do with our government to ask questions, find out how you get in, et cetera. And then, you know, you're allowed to go in public school. And, you know, we love to help people, but I say this is the procedure that's been going on for so long, but it's getting so staggering. It's just going overboard. So just as he said, who come in right now, and they were able to land in they land in the Bahamas, but they were able to get apprehended. This is going on right now. And they were allowed to go in the general public. You know, they're going to have to find a place to stay or they're going to live in unsanitary ways by living in the bushes and stuff like that, they're going to get sick and have diseases and stuff like that, you know, and spread it amongst the population, right? And, you know, we don't want that kind of stuff, you know. But anyway, yesterday they slipped through the cracks for a certain period of time, and then they start to work, you know, they want to be able to make a good living. No, this is a very difficult situation because I understand what they're going through, but I understand what we're going through as well. And you know, it's only so much we can be able to handle, you know. So we have to try slow it down as much as possible in order to save the generation that is here now. We're talking with the Haitian Bahamians, we're talking about Bahamians here now who are both striving right now based on the economic status of poverty spreading through the inner city community on all of us, you know? All of us in the inner city and the Bahamas are really struggling to make ends meet, you know? So if we keep on letting people build up in the country, everything goes out. So let me finish explaining. So when these individuals come into town, you know, you can't blame them for coming here to work for the 250 or 260. To them, that is gold. It's dollar for dollar, and our dollar par with the U.S. dollar. So when they have the opportunity to send $100, $150 back, what they make, they're going to work hard. They want to be loyal to their bosses, you know, because they don't want to lose their job. You know, they're hardworking, you know, they work hard. They work and they get jobs done ahead of time. That's why the prime minister was talking about that, you know. They work hard, you know. They work hard. You know, what something takes to be built in about 6 months, they do it in about 3 months. That's how they work because they want to work, you know. But they come here illegally. So they start stagnating the country. They start sending the money back to build a little house and stuff like that because they are family members over. And if they were getting put in a position where they have to go back, they want to be able to say, you know, they accomplished something while she had to the Bahamas, you know. So the dollar is very important. So now, just saying that money alone, what they're sending out, that little $100, $150 or $200 they're sending out every week in the Bahamas from, just say, about 20, 30,000. You can't blame the people, but they're saying it's still a burden on us. How much money lives out the country that goes to Haiti or go to Jamaica or go to Philippines or go to India? Right? Just say in a month time, we have people here who come here for dollar, for a better living. We were widening all this, but it's also taking away something from us. Now, the money goes out to the country. Now, the money is going to do good for the families that are hurting or poor. You know, some of them don't have water, some of them don't have light, some of them don't have nothing going for them. So the money that leaves to the Bahamas goes and gives them a better life. So even though people want to hate on the Bahamians here in the Bahamas, you can't, because the money that is accumulated from here, that God has given us, and now lives out our country, our blessing lives out this country, and we go bless other people and other nations. And you know, because in a way, we helping so many people, you know. We helping thousands and thousands to live better because their lives are deplorable. We look at the state of Haiti. Their lives are deplorable. So the money, what their family members send here back to them, changes their lives. It's more like a blessing, like God's blessing from the next nation. But at the same time, it's draining us. That's why you can't find money on the ground no more. It's hard to ask people for $50 or $10 because it ain't there, because the money is just leaving the country. Then the majority leave the money. This is where the majority of the money goes. The money that's collected on Bay Street, Fish Fry, and the whole script goes to Monarchy and goes to, just say, far as Crystal Palace or Bay by the airport, okay? All those business establishments in that vicinity, they get up the American currency that the tourist who comes off the ship, that spends, or who come with Visa, or who come with MasterCard. But the U.S. dollar is collected because the U.S. want to make sure, keep track of their money that comes in the country. They don't want their money, you know, be all about in the Bahamas. That's why you don't have American currency in the inner city community, even though we raid the Bay Street. I raid in Grandstand. I'm the closest to Bay Street. Mason Addition close to Bay Street. West Creek close to Bay Street. Fort Charlotte close to Bay Street. And yet still, we don't have no American money flowing in the inner city community. Why? Because the money is never going to reach us. The only way we get American money in the inner city community is because the taxi drivers, the people who work the McDonald's, who work the Kentucky, who work the Wendy's, whoever was working downtown, who was behaving or somebody like that, the little American dollars, they get tipped from driving the taxi or getting paid and stuff like that, because, you know, that's where all the American money flourishes downtown Bay Street. And so when they come over the hill and they stop to the Chinese, they stop the mom and pop shop, they stop the Super Value, they stop the me, they stop this one, they stop to the dope boy. So that's the only way the American money comes over the hill. Okay? And that's a fraction. So what happens is the stores themselves work together and the bank, and they collect all the U.S. currency in all those individual stores. And they collect it. And then central bank collects it. And then every three quarters, the fiscal year, you would see a police motorbike, two police motorbikes, and probably a police car heading out from central bank. Then it turns to C.I. Walker. I think they go, and then when you look, they make a turn, and then they go to Airport Road, and then the money leaves out and goes to Canada and the U.S. And that is a big share. I'm talking millions and millions, okay? So this money leaves. That goes. Now, like I said again, you can't blame the people. They want a better life, and we just probably be able to find a solution to our problems, you know? And that's how the few American dollars come over the hill. You know, so the plan is now to get more American money come over, and that's one of the plans I'm working on, because I know it's the only way how we're going to change the directory of the inner city community. We have to get Visa cards over in the inner city community, you know, debit cards and all this stuff have to be introduced in the inner city community so that we can be able to survive and get the tourist industry over the hill. You know, that's how I feel, because the kids them will stand no chance in the country of being no business oriented or have creative ideas. And there are millions and millions to be made in the tourism industry, from the tour guide, from jet ski, from hair braiding, from doing nail polish, from souvenirs. There's so many different ways you could tap into the tourism market. And we have this year record breaking millions, I think over 9 million or so, came to our shore on our way to our shores this year alone. And listen to that. Millions go to the country, and yet still only but 1%, not even 1% comes over the hill. So I'm going to take this next call, and then I'm going to continue the conversation. I want to talk about some of these suicides and stuff. Go ahead, caller. You're on inside the inner city on Guardian Radio.
Yeah, bless up, Scorsese.
Yes, bless, brother.
Yeah, I got a big job. I get cut off. But you listen to me. People will be listening to you. You get some power again. But I was letting you explain the trickle-down effect, right?
Yes.
The ecosystem, you know, because I like that, right? And, you know, one thing is you real, so you know what's going on, right? That's how we got to survive. But your boy, the last caller, and Dez, the guy who called about the construction.
Yes, sir.
Dez painted some real picture, but you see that, the youth there, Dez, who talking about the construction industry and the first caller, Dez, he can build a whole house by himself, but, you know, of course he need help, but he's a bad carpenter, okay. Unamazing.
Wow.
He's a one-man army. But and then the young gentleman that called, who talked about the different demographics. I like what he was saying, really and truly. You know?
Yeah.
But one thing I don't want to dismiss it, because I think it might start in like a Michael Rode era when he's saying Asian and Bahamian gangsters. But I don't know nothing about it, because, you know, I have Asian American friends and Asian friends, and so I don't see that kind of schism in the inner city. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? So let's hope not. You know what I mean?
Yeah, let's hope not.
Because with the incident in Flamingo. You know, the little grapevine is spread to the road. Those two big gentlemen were brethren. They worked together here, right?
Okay.
And they end up in a little argument over this one wanted to do bad. Supposedly the Asian demon wanted to do something nefarious to two other guys. And he said, no, that you mess up the vibe. And they end up in a little vibe. And I hear some stuff happen subsequently that's not even being reported.
Okay.
I don't know if you hear that. I was just saying to somebody, I heard somebody was stabbed subsequently, and this and that happened in the village in the Baghdad. But I don't know why they're suppressing it. And this coming from people who's beyond, people who want to know, and I don't want to say. You understand what I'm saying?
Yes, sir.
But there's a desire to suppress a lot of things, right? But what I want to tell the last caller is, he said some things that I was saying a while. He said all administrations are failures. I love the young gentleman,
yeah,
because he's painting a real picture. And that's what we need. And so the fact that we still have an entity called the Minister of National Security, you know, the burden lies on the last one. We see this problem. And then for me, this is my opinion. The PM is actually allowing what he is saying he's not doing, what he's doing. He's allowing exactly what he's talking against it. You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Through the Immigration Department, and I see Haitian Bahamians and Haitians with contracts on social services, the clinic over there, the government project. I see a guy was a Haitian the other day when I was in the back there by one of my bridges, the little boy. So I see, like, he talking, he got his thingam in the truck, his girlfriend in the truck over there. Why, he's a full Haitian, but I said they're giving him a contract, but he's saying otherwise. So I supposed to believe these migrants coming in have some kind of skill over the Bahamian people, and we have BTBI, and we have access to free this and free that. But one thing you have to realize, even with education on the international law, right?
Yeah.
You have to understand, it doesn't say we have to give it to them free.
Okay.
And what you need to do is familiarize yourself with something called ocean monopoly. It is, deals with international law, maritime law.
Maritime law, that's what I was saying. You see when I talk about maritime law?
Yeah, but I want you to enlighten yourself even more by just, when you go home, there's a program called Oceans Monopoly. And it will show you the capitalism that which exists in the world that we know nothing about.
What is this again?
Oceans Monopoly.
Okay.
All right? And what happens is, let's say, they have recently found out that the seabed has a lot of gold and silver. And they want to dig up and excavate the seabed. And so what happens is, now continents closer to the sea will have, the problem is continents closer to the sea will have more
maritime law
rights, to this belt.
Yes.
But then there's also international law that what is in international waters supposed to be divided up against everyone on Earth or on that part of the world. Let's say your continent, my continent, and then we share the wealth. But that's not going to happen because they're saying you're not paying the excavator, hence capitalism and all type of stuff. So international law is governed by status quo nations.
Yes.
All right. It was like back in the days, they would say Columbus Lanya or let's say America Vespucci or Ferdinand Magellan or whatever, Galenus or whatever. They land somewhere and they stick the British flag or the Spanish flag or whatever, and then that's their own.
Yes, that's what it is.
So we fast forward to contemporary times now. We look at contemporary crimes, right? You turn around and started to give crown land grants. Notice the word, crown land grants, right? So as I sat and talked with somebody, and I wanted to discuss this with Angle today, they did that because that's wealth for future generations, and that also keeps their influence in the colonies.
Yes.
You see me? So, yeah, so let's get it. But as it relates to immigration now, Scoots Brown, we see that they fired Donnell, whatever the lady name, whatever the lady, not the lady from BC, the lady from immigration, right?
Yeah.
We saw the Chinese with some situation at Awaki where drugs were found and everything went into oblivion. We saw where the Chinese at the Hilton the other day. So as it relates to the last caller, he was saying something, but he know what he say, whatever deal between them and the government. But every money is in every deal. Once someone is rich, of course, you mean you from the road, okay?
Yeah.
We can look at the influence of our Region 90, Big Brother, right?
Yeah.
Who go up all us, right? We know the type of power Big Brother had, man.
Yeah.
Yes. You understand? We ain't no playing no crazy around your brother. We know, hey, Mikey, do you forget Mikey them and all? You know, I used to lie in them. I didn't run their age where I know these man.
Yeah.
You know, the town small for me and you. So what they saying is they could run all the game they will run on me and you. A nation divided cannot stand.
Yep.
Do not divide the people. Bridge the gap.
Yes, so we bridge have the gap. Yes.
Bring the people out of the shanty town, let them live in the city. The gentleman said something very, your last call, you know. We need to know in this town, you know.
Yep.
Otherwise, all of this foolishness but human smuggling and crime, you're not serious.
No.
Even with climate change, they're not serious. The migrants are a lot. Where they getting this coal from, Scoochie? Scooch Brown, where they getting this coal from?
I know.
But I'm trying to show you the farce and all these narratives, man.
Yeah.
I'm only a living man, Scoochie, about to die in a minute.
Yeah.
I'm not here forever, so you think I can let people... I have to expose what I know and what
I
see.
Yeah.
We all being kidnapped, no, you're still bad. Man, we got to emancipate ourselves. It's about us, you know. That's what... You see the last call it up?
Yeah.
You have to respect that youth, you know.
Yeah, man.
That youth is about us, brother.
Yeah.
And tell the sheep, understand that the shepherd is leading them in the wrong direction. The shepherd has turned, all right?
Mm-hmm.
And he's betrayed the people. Now, yeah. I don't know, all the shepherds, as far as I can say it. And we said minister, but this and that the other day, but and he started to mention the pandemic, right? But you remember now during the pandemic, and then let me show you how low politics go. The other day, the PM was talking about ministers and how he locked down the country and wait. But if he was in power, he'd do likewise to the global order. Mm-hmm. And me and you know that's Scoochie. Right or wrong?
Yeah.
Scoochie's could do likewise to the global order. He's going to lock down the country to the same way.
Because it's the mandate.
And they sign on to these states.
They, telling people, the World Health Organization.
You knew about, I go in now, Scoochie, did you know about the Emergency Powers Act?
Before the
I didn't know about it. It's all of a sudden like Jesus to me. I don't even know nothing. I didn't hear but this. All of a sudden this power comes from nowhere.
Bless up.
Give thanks.
Yeah. You're talking with the World Health Organization that took over the governments of the world, led by Dr. Fauci. He took over the world when it comes to the requirements of the COVID-19. And yes, like I said, you know, even though Cuban minister was there, the prime minister of the country, we might disagree with him on the lockdown, but he himself, we signed on to agreements. Just like how we talked about the Chinese, they have an association, they have agreement that they signed with the Bahamas government. The Indians also have those agreements. These are things what we need to do our study, but I know they have agreements because, you know, I read, and they have their association, they sign contracts with the government and agreements. Just like some of these natural resources we're talking about in the country, if you check back and go look back, and you walk in Parliament, you would see some names, first parliamentarians who were on the first set of MPs in the country. Those names, they signed contracts long time ago with the Bahamas government on some of these natural resources in the country. Go check it out. You wonder why Martin Salt and all these stuff and blah, blah, blah. Go do your research and you'd see. And they signed contracts. The only thing you could do is try and see if you could renegotiate to these individuals. That's how serious it is in the country. Okay, we sign on to agreements, okay? We sign on to agreements. I can take this last call, and then I'm going to go talk about the little suicide and suicides and statement made by the Commissioner of Police. Go ahead, caller, you're on Inside Inner City on Guardian Radio. Caller, you're there? I guess they left. Okay, yeah. So, again, like I say, it is not to do with no hate. It's the fact that we have to reserve what's share in the country. A lot of money is leaving this country. Whether it's going to Canada or the U.S., we got to see how we can get those U.S. dollars that made downtown in the inner city community and around and abroad this country. You know, too much poverty. We get too much U.S. dollar share in this country. But the powers to be would not allow the money to come over the hill. Why? Bahamians can go invest with this U.S. currency anywhere in Jamaica, Haiti, Trinidad and Tobago. You could even invest in the Philippines. You could invest in places that are offering, you know, this could make Bahamians, you know, be explorers and opportunists, you know. That's how we're supposed to be living, you know, like Qatar and Dubai and how Gaddafi had it and et cetera. You know, it's like, we're just being stalked. What I just tell the Bahamian public just now when I talk about the money and how the U.S. dollar, how not even 1% has come over the hill. I study that myself, you know. Most of the things you see me talk about, I just study with myself, you know. And I always tell people, I ask God for knowledge, wisdom, and understanding. And I can tell you what the problem is in the country. And I can tell you how we can solve a lot of problems in this country. You know, so anyway, let me just talk real quick. So it affects us because the money leaves out of the country. The kids who come to school, the 5,000 kids plus kids coming to school, you know, they're looking to apply for jobs. You heard the prime minister saying a lot of the jobs, we have a lot of unskilled persons, so they have to hire foreign laborers. Some illegally, he didn't say illegally, he said legal, but I know some illegal because he did say have work permits. You understand? And I say these people work hard. And don't get me wrong now. These Haitian national people, they work hard. The Chinese, them, they work hard. They work hard and fast. It ain't that Bahamians can't fill the position, you know? It's who you know. And I think that what has happened now is that we have not expanded the BTVI in the inner city communities. I don't think we advance the BOMZI project. I know that Omar, who is the manager of BOMZI, he has an establishment from the outlet. I mean, there's an outlet on Market Street. that's an offshoot of bomb city. And these are the kind of things that we're going to have to be creative in doing if we want to change the direction of the country. Also, we need, like, the Ministry of Health and Wellness. You know, Michael Dowell talked about the fact that they want to, I think I listened closely, say they want to eradicate a lot of the HIV virus, and they think in 2030. There needs to be more information on that. There are also pills, a pill that persons who are sexually active and are not yet infected can take, I think, and you can go by the hospital. There's so much different information out there that the hospital has to offer, but the information just be repeated one time in the radio and one time in the newspaper. But we need to keep on repeating the important messages that government sometimes give out, because it could be very beneficial to many of the individuals in the country who might need some medical assistance, you know. So this goes deep, you know. This goes deep. Yeah. So all of this, I think, is tied also to the suicide increase by 60%. I think all of this year, the screen on BMN people, some people just don't know who to turn to, you know. So they just think it's themselves. They don't see no way they can make no money or there's no future for them. And they think the best thing to do is to take their lives, you know. So I think that just pure pressure, because, again, stress is the number one killer, S-T-R-E-S-S. It's not gunshot. It's not sexually transmitted disease. It's stress. And stress comes with, you know, you can add up to about 10 things, so, but the main thing is not being able to pay your bills, you know, and one of the next thing is you fall in love with somebody and your heart gets broken, and boy, dog eat your lunch. If you're financially unstable and you're trying to make it with somebody and you're all saying, I have a couple of dollars coming in, baby, you know, I'm trying my best, but you go on the job, but you get laid off because there's foreign workers who can replace you. You know, you getting paid $260, so you ain't working hard. So, you know, so but that foreign worker who comes there for that $260, he'd brand the wall within an hour. So who you think the boss could keep? You know, you was a BM, and so what you think of when you say lazy? No, you ain't that you lazy. That's man, $260, man. Look, man, my light bill, this by my light bill is $150, man. My internet bill is $80, man. My gas bill is $60. How this $260? So you slung on the job. But the foreigner who come here, he go work. He go work. One of my friend Elroy Bryce tell me to talk a little bit about, let me go talk about the crime thing. But before I do that, my friend Elroy Bryce tell me to talk about a little specific issue with the housing that the Minister Keith Bell is currently trying to establish, where he would go inside the inner city community government. You know, I mentioned it before, and repair or buy vacant lots or vacant lots with abandoned houses on it, and either make offer to the owners and turn it into a low-cost home for less fortunate individual, probably, I'd say, single-parent mom or father or family that is in need, because we have thousands of houses in the inner city community that, you know, can be purchased and turned into low-cost home or business establishment to start some small business from some individual, or there's a building there that can be turned into an apartment. You know, it sounds good. I agree with that. So Elroy, you know, he made a statement saying why, you know, coming into the city community, why coming into the poor community? You know, there's always going to be a backlash. Say, why are you coming to the poor community? You know, coming and look like they're coming to take it away from the poor. But like I said, I think Keith Bell saying that the government would purchase the lots, and I think that persons who are probably squatting them might feel threatened, or been keeping the property for a long time, there's no title, they feel threatened. So the government's going to have to find a way to work with them as well. So I always mentioned, so Elroy said, and I always said this, you know, why not let's build subdivision in Andres, Freeport, Abaco, or wherever it is, you know, low-cost homes and et cetera, all around the family island, give people a second option to of a second home or third home, you know, because if there's a disaster here, now it's no problem with a disaster in Abaco. And, you know, we saw what happened in Freeport. We saw what happened in Abaco. And we saw how Nassau itself was screened because persons who were running for their lives, you know, many lost their lives in Hurricane Dorian. Freeport got hit hard, Abaco got hit hard, and the Rocky V's, you know, couldn't stay in Abaco no more, so we had to fly them over here, and we had to try house them. We had them at the stadium. So this year shows you that we need to think ahead of the situation, meaning that we saw that happen. So, in other words, what Elroy is saying, and that's my boy Elroy Blythe, he's saying, go on the family island or go over Paradise Island where all the acres is and build some homes from some poor people over there, and you'll show us that you care about us. You know, it makes sense. You know, I understand where you're coming from, because he's saying that, you know, you're talking about the inner city community, but you're not talking to those acres that are close to the sea, you know, like waterfront homes, like, you know, you understand, but it's a step in the right direction, what Keith Bell, you know, has decided to do, or what the government has decided to do, because I've been saying it all along, that how we can improve the condition of the inner city community as well. But it also makes sense to build subdivisions in these excluded places, you know, and give the Bahamian people an option to go and get a low-cost home for anywhere from $30,000 to $40,000 on the family island. Give us an option so that we can get at least 150,000 people to live Nassau and go on the family island and occupy some of that crown land. So, suggesting what Elroy is saying, and I've been saying for many years, you know, develop the family islands with low-cost homes, you know, with the subdivisions. You could build them with small businesses and give the Bahamian people an opportunity to go and purchase one at a low price, you know. And that would ease the burden of Nassau, New Providence. I think this also ease the burden of crime. It also ease the burden of the high volume of people attending the Princess Margaret Hospital that the hospital cannot sustain. If you look at the morgue, they're saying that the morgue is not freezing. You know, not only here, but then also in Freeport, Grand Mahamba, on some of the family islands, you know. So we are in dire need of all kind of stuff. He's saying bodies are decaying because it's crazy, you know. We need new morgues, man. It's crazy. It's crazy, you know. So there's a lot of things that needs to come to fruition. You know, I hope that our government and persons who are running for office, whether it's the Coalition of Independence or the Free National Movement, they're running for office. But all these things, I hope that they take into consideration when they read the newspaper the condition of the morgues and how Bahamian people, you know, some can't get buried. The morgue has water, you know. So we in a bad state in the country. We can talk about good governance all we want. They are major investment, you know, when you look. Major investments, yeah. Government signed 17.96 million contract for Black Point Airport in Exuma. I must say, Chester Cooper's doing a fantastic job. There are millions and millions and millions, probably billions of dollars being invested in Exuma. I'm sure Exuma's going to have a morgue. I'm sure Exuma's going to have a hospital. I'm sure Exuma's going to have tar roads and et cetera. I'm sure they're going to have a lot of A, B, and B. There's going to be hotels, you know, they're going to have planes, they're going to have boats, you know, Exuma's going to be taken over from Freeport. It was Abaco Hotel, Hurricane Dorian destroyed Abaco. Abaco was the second, I think, after Nassau, New Providence, with financial gains. Now it looks like it's going to be Exuma, and then it looks like it's going to be Cat Island, but there's billions being spent, and I think that Chester Cooper has looked at what infrastructure is needed in Exuma, and I think that the Exumans are going to have a great future. You know, I'm listening to Drop Creation, so like I say, you know, he's thinking out the box. We need those same things to apply here. So the minister in charge of health, Dr. Dowell, he needs to find a way on how he's going to deal with all these morgues. He needs to set up a budget, and he needs to go and he needs to tell the prime minister when he addresses parliament and say this is what we need in order to find the best alternative on what they're going to do to fix these mugs, because guess what? It is in dire need of repair. Okay? We're going to take this next call. Go ahead, caller. You're on Inside Inner City.
Yes, Scoochie. You just didn't ever find me according to the story with the mug again, but this brother, Elroy Bryce, that's your brother, Janae.
Yeah, that's my boy, man.
That's the police officer?
No. That's Elroy. So I'm ready to go on. You know it's daddy. You know it's daddy from Bantam.
Yeah, but listen to me. Let that you there know 52 say enough respect, all right? I laugh because I had to call back. Enough respect, brother. Enough respect. I got a medium, man. But listen to me. Scoochie, by him saying that, right? I'm moving on. We got the homestead together, right? So once a place is not a duplex, let's say they could give someone with a duplex a break. So within the city, right? I mean, you see what's going on. People can't repair their houses out in the suburbs, right? Yeah. So now we see what they're doing in the city. But what hurt me today was somebody initially was saying you all area, but he didn't extend it to the group, whereby you get exemptions from imports to repair the houses, right?
Yes.
Or even here locally, you should be allowed to get these things bought free.
Yeah.
Now, what I'm saying is, I said that because I went to buy a door today, right?
Yeah.
The door was like about $400, or maybe just a little, but I know it was like $41 on VAT, right? I get mad when I see that, because I give them that. They don't deserve that. You got to pay. Listen to me. If you really want people to repair their homes in the inner city and stay in the inner city, you should give them some incentive. But that's just one door.
Yeah.
They get $41.50 of me for one door, Scoochie.
Yeah.
Come on, man. That's all they wanted to say. They ain't really in there helping nobody, but Edward, but show them what time it is. They ain't putting that no PI. They ain't putting let the people proliferate or put the shit. Hey, enough respect, buddy. Give thanks.
Yeah. You know, one thing would be even, you know. I mean, it's a good idea, but I like where you're coming from as well. You know, you're saying, go build some homes over PI, or go build some homes over, you know, like the key, or build some of the keys, you know, with those waterfront homes, you know, and let him live good, you know. Because, you know, like the majority of the waterfront homes going to a private, what you call them, private developer, you know, big name private developer, because, you know, they take the waterfront homes. Yeah, that'd be good, you know. Some people in Inago, build some homes in Inago, waterfront home, man, just waterfront home, man. Let some payments live good, man. Give us an option, you know. Give us the option, you know. Exuma is a prime example on how the Bahamas supposed to look. I give credit to Chester Cooper, you know. I mean, that don't mean they're going to win the government, but he's doing a fantastic job as far as development. If you look at the development that's taking place, roads and airport and hotel and getting the people involved with small business, you know. And that's what these MPs are supposed to be doing in each and every community, you know. It's more difficult here in National Providence because, you know, people are just fed up and, you know, some people are just giving up. So you have to bring these things to the people right now in the inner city community. You know, you have to bring BTVI. You have to bring small business development in the inner city community. You know, you have to bring the health and wellness in the inner city community to tell us about how we can take better care of ourselves and what medication is out there that is better, that is good for us, and it could reach other people, because some people just don't go to the hospital, you know. So we need that. We have to expand, you know. We have to expand now with creative ideas and these ideas we're pushing, you know. But like I said, give a plus to Mr. Keith Bell on the idea we put forward, and now he's pushing forward for the government. I hope it goes well. I hope that the homes that they do repair in the inner city community goes at a very low price, render on, you know, and then like Elroy suggests, build some homes on the family island or on Life at Key. Give the people, what you call it, waterfront homes, you know. You know, and again, I think any government that comes to power right now should sit to themselves, you know, with a growing population in the country. Every government should set out now who comes to power to see if they can say, you know what, let's try to see if we can build 20 to 30,000 homes in our tenure, or 50,000 homes in our tenure across the archipelago of the Bahamas. And we give our youths more opportunities. And these family islands, you set up a small business, like I say, because you're going to have tourists visiting these settlements, turning them into settlements along with small homes, rent-to-own homes. And you can imagine with other small businesses set up, you know, with a little small hotel or major hotel or, you know, these kind of stuff could change the direction. Because if I have opportunity now to say, go to Exuma right now, I look online and I could go to Exuma. day from now, so now I could get employed, I could have my small business, and I could buy only cheap piece of property down next summer. My life changed, because I'm going to meet new people. My experience is going to change. All I have to do is discipline myself, learn how to keep my hands to myself, learn not to talk too much, observe, be friendly and kind, and my life could change. Simple as that. We're going to take this last call. Go ahead, caller. You're on Inside the Inner City.
Excuse me, sir.
Everything all right?
Yeah, respect. You're talking about housing. We are in desperate need of housing.
Yes, sir.
Okay, affordable housing.
Yes, $35,000,
$40,000.
Rent on.
Yeah, we could do that.
Rent on.
We could do that.
Yes.
But look at this government. People are making noise about the homes that this government is building.
Mm-hmm.
You know. But we had a government about 4 years ago, 5 years ago. And their whole tenure, they didn't even build a dollar.
What did?
They didn't even build a dollar or a doghouse.
Many people
they say, well, this ought to host them good luck when they start building. You know, so let us give this government a little credit. I am a supporter of this government.
Yes, sir.
So let's give this government some credit.
Yes, sir.
They're building some homes.
Yeah, they're building some. They're
now,
building
honestly,
some.
Honestly, they're not building them
fast
to my
enough.
Thing. They're not building them fast enough.
Yes, sir.
Get some more brothers to build. Get some more contractors to build. All you need to do is have some inspectors inspecting these houses as they go along. Don't wait till those finished to go inspect though.
Yes, sir.
You know, I had a problem with a home I got. Then I went to change the cabinets
yeah.
in the kitchen. You know, all I saw was curry.
Was curry?
Curry dirt. No concrete or nothing is there.
They shortcut you, mate. They shortcut you.
Man, they shortcut everybody. Because yeah. when I tell somebody else about it, they look at their own. The same thing. But how they had the wood under the cabinet in the kitchen. You all raised it up, no wood to see.
Yeah.
You see, all they need to do is have some inspectors.
And some genuine inspectors who ain't taking no bribe.
Yeah, not them said who taking 150 for lunch and 200 for lunch.
You lucky?
Not real people.
You lucky if you supposed to get a little soak away in the yard, the water come up.
Man, listen to me, yeah? I'm telling you. But these houses, I've been in one of those in Radisson.
Yes, sir.
They're nice.
They're nice.
They I don't know if you've been in any of them yet, but they're solid.
Okay.
They're solid.
That's a plus.
But, you know, people say this government is that. But they're building some homes. That's the most important. Boy, the house is some man's biggest investment they'll ever make in their life.
Yes, sir.
A house.
Yes.
And
it's security.
If you can't have something to leave for your children,
you're in trouble.
Brother, that's a problem.
Because you know rent is going to be sky high when the children go rent, right?
Rent? I was paying $450 for rent. I was mad for two bedrooms. I said that was high.
So $450. So
for two bedroom, I'm paying $650.
And how
does Calvin Road?
That's a month or a week.
A month.
So do that times.
I'm talking about 18 years ago now.
I just said, and you do the maths with that, you could have done a lot of hooks, right?
But listen to me, Scrooge.
Yes, sir.
You know, what paying rent is.
What it is?
Just balling your money up.
Uh-huh.
And throwing it in the bin.
Yes, sir.
That's all it is.
So you can.
But
buy...
now you see with that. See the biggest part about the. The houses, it's not the paying the mortgage, you know.
Mm.
It's that down payment.
Yes.
If you could find a way to work around that down payment, like you say, rent to own.
Rent to own.
That would be good.
Yes.
You know, and this government is building some homes. As a matter of fact, they have some now.
Yes.
If you're paying rent, you could find $12,000, $15,000, and you're done paying rent.
Yeah.
You know, so let us give credit where credit is due.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
You know.
Fair enough.
Yeah, man. But fair respect enough. You, brother.
Yes,
respect.
Sir. Yes, sir. It's fair enough. You know, they are building houses. Fair enough. You know, there are programs that the government are doing that are benefiting the Beeman. Fair enough. He's right. That's why I say, right now, with this item and Mr. Keith Bell going in the city community, even though Elroy said what he said, it makes sense, but I understand exactly where Elroy is coming from. You know, and I respect Mr. Bell for this because these things that needs to happen in the inner city community, but just don't take advantage of it and make sure that you, when you go do these things, you make sure that you could have could talk to the individuals who probably have some claim to it. They might not have a title, but they might want a claim to it, and that could probably be for them, you know, and help them build it, you know, and that's how it go. You know, you just got to make sure that you be fair, Mr. Bell. You know, and I think that you're turning in a good politician. From the last time you were in, you were a little cocky. But I think that right now you had repentance. And I think that you're a good MP now. I support you on what you're doing because you're helping people, you know. You're billing, so. You're billing, and you're helping people because I see people turning the key. Like the caller said, you know, it's not moving as fast enough. But, you know, be creative. Think about the family islands, the other islands, and et cetera, you know. Help as much people as you can. If we could get, I swear, if we could get 100,000 people to leave this Nassau, leave Nassau, you would see a complete change in this country. Trust me. And we protect our borders the best way we can, because guess what? Don't care what we do, we can't protect our borders. Trust me. 700 islands, 700 keys. Even though we could have bases like how the former commodore of the Royal Bahamas Defense was talked about, that they're establishing bases on certain key points, and I hope they establish more, deploy these soldiers, defend for them, they're trained properly with anger management, how to de-escalate certain situation. They know how to apprehend. You know, they also know how to do medical attention and make sure that places that they're going to build for the illegal immigrants who they capture are standard. Running water, yeah. Food, you know, the basic needs that we show our kindness towards our neighbors. And then we send them back home because we have court there, we have the judge there, and then we be able to repatriate them back to their respective country. But like I said, you know, we... as a Bahamian society, you know, we have to protect what's left because too much money is leaving the country. Bottom line, and it's not circulating. It's leaving from downtown, which is the majority. I'm talking millions and millions, billions, leaving every three physical quarter. That can, if you get a little 2 or 3% in small businesses, with tourists up in these main areas like Mason, Grandstand, and Fort Charlotte and places like that, it'd be a big trickle-down effect in our country. You know, and, the callers did a wonderful job here tonight with their comments. You know, and again, like I say, it affects us greatly. Too much money is leaving the country. And the money that is what is leaving this country is going for a good cause. But again, it's also hurting us here in the Bahamas who are looking for a better life for ourselves as well. So we're helping persons in Haiti. We're helping their children. We're helping their mothers. We're helping their daddy with the money they accumulate here. But at the same time, us Bahamians, we are hurting bad in the country. We are being treated like we fourth-class citizens in our country. You know, and things need to get better for us. And that's why so many people are committing suicide in this country. Because they have no hope, they have nobody, they are alone, and they just give up on life. Is this the Bahamas that we want? It's not the Bahamas. We are the richest Atlantic or Caribbean, small country in the world. One of few is dollar for dollar with the U.S. And now that the BRIC is gaining ground around Russia and China, Iran, here's the thing now. They're getting rid of the U.S. dollar. Let me show you something. You know what that's going to mean for us? There are going to be so much U.S. dollars here for us in the Bahamas and these Caribbean countries. Because now if the money's not circulating that way, the money's got to circulate back this way. So it's a plus for us to grab as much U.S. dollars as we can. I'm encouraging Bahamians out there. grab the U.S. dollars and invest it. Go online and look what they're selling for cheap property in the Turks and Caicos or Jamaica and whatever. And you go buy it. Invest. There might be a furniture store. Or go to Panama if you like selling your jeans, pants, or whatever the stuff is. Like, you like tennis and you want to go into your tennis business. Get the American dollars. Make a transfer. Go to Panama. Use your mind, people. Be creative. Be creative. Think. Dollar for dollar here. Find a way. Find a way to accumulate it and invest it. There's going to be plenty U.S. dollars in the Caribbean because it's not going to be flowing to that part of the world now because they're doing BRICS now. Okay? Some Gaddafi started. Wanted to start it with the dinar, and he was stopped. Now those countries are doing it now to devalue the U.S. dollar. And that's because the sanction that the U.S. put on countries like Russia in a way to work around the sanctions and the tariff. And now they're working to get on their own universal money that they're spending each one another country. So they're accepting one another money at a high dollar value. I is only reading, come to my own assumption, but I know one thing. We stand a good chance in this country. You just have to protect our border. Slow down the immigrants coming in because we can't deal with it as much as possible. Those here, if they abide by the rules and regulations during the national anthem, contributing to taxes, you know, can be given a temporary citizenship, then they could work their way up to citizenship. Some people might not agree with it, and the caller stated that they can never be equal as us, yeah, and the Bahamas. Just say, I'm going to take your side on that. I might not agree on it because I know that we all one people, but I agree and I understand exactly what he's saying when he's saying that. In the Bahamas, there should be no nationality or behemoths, and he has a right to say that, and I think he's right for saying it. I'm not discrediting him. He's right for saying it. He feels that opportunity should be provided for behemoths first, and then everything else trickle down. That's his belief. I think he's right for that as well, you know, because that's what every leader and citizen of the country want for their own citizen. And as a citizen living here in the country, he's entitled to that. So he's right on that, you know. I'm a little softer than him, but I understand exactly where he is coming from. I'm a little softer because I know the circumstances about the Asian and Haiti and what caused it, French Revolution. The Americans, up to this day, and France are in there, and they're using the minerals to make military equipment. They have one of the rarest minerals in Haiti. There's gold, silver, and just like how we're living in the inner city community, and only but not even 1% of the U.S. dollars coming out of hell, it's no different that wouldn't happen in Haiti, what's happening in Jamaica. Communities that are closer to Bay Street seems to be the poorest when it's supposed to be the richest. Because if we get establish ourselves as small business and we get our revenue, our income coming in from the tourism market, meaning their customers and all of us are in the business dealing with the tourism industry or whatever business we're in, the barbershop, and it's because all this is going to tie in. The money's going to trickle down, and a lot of our problems in this country is going to be solved. And it was, many of these people who want to commit suicide, probably, I talked to one or two persons who commit suicide, you know, before. And sometimes just a sitting with brothers and sisters can change a person's thought. And if we strengthen them to communities by empowering, and as we grow and we get stronger and we pull together as one, and we start to love and care for one another, talk to one another, we'd see a change in this country. We'd see a change in this country. So I hope I was a good host tonight. And to all the callers, you guys did a wonderful job tonight. 52, enough respect. To my boy Elroy Bryce, to all the listeners who listen to Guardian Radio, to all who listen to Inside Inner City, I appreciate each and every one of you. And I'm not a man of hate, but the fark is there. too much money living out this country. And we have to find a way how we could keep the money in the Bahamas here so it could circulate in our hands, people. I'm talking about all over here now. Where you are? Italian, Chinese, Bahamians, Haitian Bahamian, all over here who are going about it the right way, and those who will eventually go the right way, we have to find a way to keep the money in national providence. Be prosperous, too much money living in the country. So I'm your host, Valentin O'Brien, a.k.a. Scoochie Scrooge, host of the talk show Inside the Inner City of Mass, every Friday at 6:30 to 8 p.m., except all the days. And to all the hosts on Guardian Radio, you guys do a wonderful job. And to all the listeners, good night to you guys. And hope to see you next week at God Spell Life. And to my producer, Chris, thanks for doing an awesome job.
Only God that I believe in, living. Watch them only pass through for a season, season. Godless, I go weed them, weed them. I represent the ghetto people I from.
Nassau, Bahamas, bigger meat and bro. Where I from, meat and bro.